brazen power grab ripped straight from the globalist authoritarian handbook, President Trump's National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or NSPM 7, has just redefined core American beliefs as indicators of domestic terrorism. This thing unleashes the FBI's sprawling joint terrorism task forces to sniff out and preemptively dismantle networks before a single crime is committed. Stephen Miller called it the first real all-of-government push against left-wing terror. But as Ken Klippenstein laid bare, the language is so broad it devours everything in its path, bypassing Congress through the same old federal-local fusion centers that have been grinding away at liberty for decades. And in the last few days, Trump's counterterrorism point man, Sebastian Gorka, made it crystal clear. This blade cuts both ways.
Let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
We have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
So I don't talk a lot about Fuentes on the show because I always knew that there was something up about it. It was very obvious to me, and I just didn't know how much. It's always tough when you've got a big newsroom like Breitbart because I've got two options. I've got ignore it, knowing this thing is eventually going to go away, right, or direct a bunch of fire at it. And we did a couple of pieces on him over the years that have been negative, obviously. But I spent a lot of time on it because it felt very inorganic to me. Certainly the numbers that were reported around this guy, that he was commanding this huge audience, though none of us know anyone who actually cares about his show in a serious way. Now he came out just a couple days ago and said he's a flat-out Democrat. The left understands this. They're as strategic as we are, if not more strategic. And for them to boost people who could drive a wedge within the MAGA movement is about the best strategy they could run. And now we've got actual evidence that's what they were doing.
It's such a sad truth.
NSPM 7 can now be twisted into domestic inquisition. Thousands of JTTF agents embedded in local police departments, campuses, and online now primed to hunt radicalizing speech that challenges Gorka's protected narrative.
Official terrorism strategy, counterterrorism strategy, literally says they will identify and neutralize political groups that are anti-American, and then they throw in or radically pro-transgender and anarchists. So the bone is, we're going to go after Antifa, we're going to go after the transgender groups, but don't worry, we define all of the former MAGA that are actually patriots as the enemy. Just like they tell you all the police states for the Muslims after 9/11, and then of course the whole time it was really for all of us.
Fuentes, you will burn in hell, you sad little boy.
What the?
This isn't new. It's a bipartisan version of post-9/11 powers. NSPM 7 revives that machinery domestically, mapping evil doers through beliefs once protected by the First Amendment, which this document notably ignores. Recall Bush-era directives enabling mass surveillance and preemption that ensnared Americans for years, from Obama's IRS targeting conservatives to Biden's war on Alex Jones and every America First dissenter. Time to expose it, reject it, and reclaim the freedoms our forefathers bled for. The Great Awakening demands vigilance, not compliance. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for keeping...
you awakening wonders. This is the day that we have Alex Jones on the show, so it's difficult to be enthusiastic about anything else, although it's also a time that my book is out, How to Become Christian in 7 Days May Take 50 Years of Sin and Serious Fuck-Ups to Get Started. There's a link in the description now that will take you directly to Amazon where you can acquire it and assist me. We'll be making content where we walk you through this process. I'm going to look at the chapters in advance. We don't want any more scenarios where I'm leafing through a Bible moment after moment, taking up the precious time of this barbarian Babylonian system of the fallen. If you're watching this anywhere other than Rumble, get onto Rumble now. Even if you're watching this on X, this is one of the rare moments where you can't click on X and see Alex Jones is streaming, if you're one of Alex's many followers, because we have him. We have corralled and captured Alex Jones. They say you can't keep lightning in a bottle, but it turns out you can keep Alex Jones quiet for a few seconds just by honoring him. Alex Jones, thank you for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand.
Russell, thank you so much for having me on. The final saga of InfoWars is finally here, and it's a big deal. The CIA, the FBI, it's been declassified, ran all these operations. The Trump administration's Todd Blanche, AG, killed the investigation into what they did 6 months ago, and it's just emblematic of how Trump's gone sideways. I'm so sad about it. We really wanted him to succeed, and we know in many ways he's better than the Democrats, but we now see Trump coming out yesterday and saying, I don't care about the American people's financial situation. All I care about is war. A month ago, he said, I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. We're a war country now. It's as if the old Trump got possessed by a demon or something. And so that's where we are right now. But what a moment to be alive. The global awakening to tyranny is only accelerating. So we don't, rise and fall on Trump. He just rode it on the populist wave. And we're all here continuing steadfastly like you've done to not compromise and tell the truth.
Well, listen, sometimes I do feel compromised, Alex. Sometimes I'm very aware of my fallenness and my brokenness. And you're, of course, one of the people that I look to. Indeed, one of the moments on my already notorious Piers Morgan appearance that I found most difficult was when I tried to explain, and I kind of wish I could have been inhered in that moment with your beautiful spirit, that if you were to look at the media landscape 20 years ago, it was evident that most people trusted blue chip, familiar insignia, mainstream media institutions, whether that's the BBC or New York Times. But now, and that's to some significant degree due to sacrifices you've borne personally, people regard those institutions with great cynicism. Now, the problem, I think, that comes with this time of mass distrust, disorder, and fragmentation is that people find it very difficult to orientate ourselves. You know, like, even take this story that we're talking about right now, that you, one of the great advocates for Trump, one of the most serious and senior voices for Trump, certainly in the space in which you've dominated, succeeded, flourished for many years, you are turning away from Trump and recognizing that even a character as idiosyncratic, significant, and at points magnificent as Donald Trump is ultimately just another pawn, just another piece being moved around on this chessboard. Was there a significant moment when you had that realization? How do you look back at your earlier support of Trump? And if and does Trump's failure in the White House, if that's how you would characterize it, mean that this type of politics is actually over, that none of us can ever get it up again for any candidate, whether it's a coffee-coloured wonder like the brilliant Barack Obama, whether it's some sort of New Age guru type, whether it's this exciting, priapic and ever-quipping Donald Trump, once they're in the system, they're going to do what the system does. Do you think this is a significant moment, Alex? And have you had, even though like you're a man who seems to live in a permanent state of epiphany sometimes, I think that's why the culture finds you in some quarters at least difficult to deal with. My question is, mate, do you think that this is a further pivotal moment where now it's like there can be no trust of anyone?
Well, the best way to describe this is the left in the last 6-8 months when I started really coming out against Trump because he'd gone sideways so much. I wasn't expecting perfection, but he really started to deviate when he kicked out Elon Musk and Elon said, you know, Trump's in the Epstein files. Then Trump did direct the cover up of the files and got so angry at MTG and others, you know, when they forced it through Congress. And we just learned the devastating information that was even wilder than I thought would actually be in there. And they've already held back more than half of it. So imagine what they did release. The left's like, oh, you now admit your 10 years of support for Trump was a lie and it was a fraud and you were con. No. When they used to call him a liar on issues, I know all the major issues, he was very accurate, very truthful on average. Not perfect. None of us are, but like a 97% accuracy rate, I would say. And then with the cover-up of Epstein, the shutting down of Doge, all the insider trading going on that even makes Nancy Pelosi blush, she was the previous grand champion. Now Trump and all the sons of his cabinet are literally just raking in at every level. And then, you know, promising not to go to war with Iran. If you elect Kamala, it's World War III with Iran. The Pentagon even telling him, and they're not perfect, hey, they're not going to fall. They're going to close the strait. It's going to kill your recovery. That was unanimous. It was only the Mossad and Netanyahu that told Trump they'll fall in 4 days. There'll be an uprising. It's going to be great. That was 75 days ago. So I went from being somewhat critical, trying to get him back on track, until we saw this event 75 days ago. And I said, okay, now I've really got to go after him to get back on track. And then about 5 weeks ago when he said, we will destroy all of Iran's culture in one day. They will never.